Jonathan Yosef Avraham's grandfather, who's just Nifter Shem Tov ben Shmuel HaKohen, and now it's Zion Nisan here in Eretz Yisrael, so I'm also dedicating this year. Today is my father's second Yahrzeit. Tonight begins his second Yahrzeit, so I'm dedicating this year to an aliyah to his neshama, Yehuda ben Achav Rechaim. And he always had a lot of pride when I gave when I gave shiurim and he was able to attend. So I think being able to share Divrei Torah with you and doing so Lila Nishmas, my father, at least to me personally, is very meaningful, and I hope it'll be meaningful to his neshama as well. Okay, we're going to continue with the Inyanim. We started with work on Hilchos Shabbos in Hadlakas Neros, and we are going to spend the first part of today's shiur very much Halach L'maisa oriented, and then we'll move on the second part to some more abstractions and lamdas. So Halach L'maisa, the dinim of Hilchos Shabbos of Neros Shabbos, Halach L'maisa, are primarily found in Siman Reish Samach Gimel in Shulchan Aruch, and after tonight you'll be able to kind of fly through it and get a sense of what's going on over here. Also a little bit Reish Samach Dal, but the Ikra Halachos are found in Reish Samach Gimel. And the Mechaber tells us in the beginning of that set of Halachos, first of all, Yezal here Lasos Ner Yafet. Person should be careful about doing having a nice candle. V'yesh Mechavnin Lasos Shnei Psilos, and the Minog, the common Minog, is when we light Neros Shabbos, we go ahead and use two psilos. We don't go ahead and use two wicks. We have two flames. And the Mechaber tells us, Echad k'neged zachar ve'echad k'neged shamar. That's the baseline minug, is to go ahead and have two flames. The Rama adds that v'yicholim lahos l'hadik shalosh arba v'chein nago. There was a minug to even add more flames, more fire, but the Ikra din is to go ahead and have one k'neged zachar, one k'neged shamar. The Mishnah Berurah here says there were other minhagim, not just two. You had a minog, for example, to write Shiva Neros, Keneged Yimei HaShavua, Keneged Shiva Yimei HaShavua, this is found in Sifkat Vav. There was a minog to light every Friday night 10 candles, Keneged Aseres HaDibros, different minhagim. And the common minog that I think you find a lot that people do today is to light one candle per household member. So, you have two candles is the baseline Chiv, Zachar V'Shamar, that's brought in Shulchan Aruch. And then every child that's born into the family to go ahead and light another candle kind of to, as a, for that child. That's a common minug that you find a lot of people do today. What's the source for that minug? Not entirely clear where that minug comes from. It's not quoted here in the Mishnah Berurah, but it might be. It might be from the following halacha, because the Rama adds, and the Rama tells us, let's say a woman, for some reason, again, the women, we'll see in a second why women are the ones who have this mitzvah, but if a woman, for example, for whatever reason, she forgot to light Neros Shabbos one given Friday night. She doesn't light, she forgot, she was amazed at a shogegas, whatever the case may be, and she didn't light Neros Shabbos, so the Rama writes, Isha sheshokcha pam achas, lahadlik madlekas kol yameha shlosha neros. There's a knas that's imposed that if she did not light on a certain Friday night, Friday afternoon, then we impose a knas on her, a fine, so to speak, a penalty, and she has to light an extra candle for the rest of the Shabbatot of her life. So if she missed a Friday night, she's going to have to light three candles the whole way through. If she missed twice, she'll have to light four candles the whole way through. And this knas is there to incentivize the woman not to forget to light. That's the basic idea. So I saw somewhere years ago, I don't remember where right now, but I saw, it might have been the Shmir Shabbos Kachasa, who suggests that maybe the minhag developed that women will light an extra candle per child, because it was probably the case, very often the case, that when a woman went into labor and had a child and was in recovery from having that child, whether in the hospital or otherwise, good chance is that that Friday night she did not light Neros. And as a result, this knas would kick in that would require her to light an extra candle. And now it already became common that once she has an extra child, so she lights an extra candle for that child. The origin might have been this halacha. But in any event, a woman who, again, was negligent in some fashion in not lighting has to, we're koneser, she has to light an extra candle. If it happened ba'ones, if indeed she was hospitalized or what have you, and she could not light, so then the halakha is that she would not be required to light an extra. Okay, now there's a comment that is made over here in the Mishnah Berurah, and then a lengthier comment in the Bir Halacha. I'll address it now. It comes up a little later in your Marmakomos, and that is the following. Are you allowed to light, let's say you're lighting two candles, or let's say you're lighting seven candles, or nine candles, whatever it is. Typically, what we do, the common case is the woman will go ahead and light a match or light some kind of light, have a lighting candle, and then we'll light all the neros. Is she allowed to? What's the halacha when it comes to madlikin miner lener? My video is frozen. Your video is frozen too. Okay, so the question that we're dealing with is, are you allowed to be madlik miner lener? Can you go ahead? Normally, again, the normal case is that a person, the woman, is going to light, have a match, and she's going to light each and every candle. Question is, let's say she wants to, for some reason, one candle goes out. She wants to take an existing Ner Shabbos and use that Ner Shabbos to light another candle with it. So is that mutter, is it aser? So that's actually a sugya that we learned in the Daf Yomi just a day ago. Are we madlik, miner, lener, or not? And the Gemara suggests, what's the issue, why not? So the issue, why not, is the question is there a problem of bizui mitzvah? Are we in some fashion denigrating, degrading the mitzvah? Now, when you're going from one mitzvah to another mitzvah, so that's not called bizui mitzvah. That's not going to be called bizui mitzvah, because after all, you're in the same mitzvah, so you're going from a Ner Shabbos to a Ner Shabbos, that's not called bizui mitzvah. If, for example, you went from a Ner Shabbos to a match, and then onto a Ner Shabbos, so the Ner Shabbos onto the match, that would be called a bizui mitzvah, and that should not be done, and that should not be done. So when you're going from a Shabbos candle to the match, and then back to the Shabbos candle, that's bizui mitzvah, because you're going away from the Ner Shabbos. However, if you're going from Ner to Ner, lechora, that should not be a problem. That should not be a problem. So the question now is, what about when it comes to Ner Shabbos? So comes along the Mishnah Berurah, the Bi'ur Halacha, an interesting discussion, and that is as follows. What is the Ikar HaMitzvah of Ner Shabbos? So true, we light two candles. That is 100%, the minhag is to light two candles. But where does it say you have to light two candles? It's a nice minhag, Keneged Zohar, Keneged Shamor. But who says? Like, why Dafka? It's a minhag. So really, Mikra Adin, all you need is one candle. So the second candle is a downgrade. So to go ahead, some argue, to go ahead and light from one candle to the other, that already is not just mitzvah to mitzvah. That's like lighting a match, and therefore that would qualify as bizui mitzvah. This is a discussion that is had by the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah writes as follows. This is in Sifkat and Dalet. Umutter lahadlik miner laner, you're allowed to. Bein im madlik shnaim o yoter, whether you're lighting two or even more than two. Ve'ein bazeh mishum bizui mitzvah, it's not bizui mitzvah. De'kulan shel mitzvah hein. Because they're all called mitzvah. Whether you're lighting two or seven or ten, it's all called mitzvah. Aval osu lahadlik kesam o ner shel chol miner shel Shabbos. But to light the match, that will be osu. And then the Bi'ur Halacha suggests that maybe even ner l'ner is a problem because the ikra mitzvah is only one light and not the two or the seven or the ten. So again, I would just suggest that maybe this machlokas, and lahalacha it's mutter, but this machlokas might very well depend on the discussion that we had last night. Because if you assume that the mitzvah is oneg Shabbos and is to have your Suda Shabbos illuminated and to have light in the house and to enjoy that light, so then I would argue the more the merrier. The more light you have, the better. The more that you have, the more you can enjoy the Shabbos. The more illumination you have, and as a result, it's all part of the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos. And in fact, that's exactly what the Bi'ur Halacha writes over here in Divrei Maskil Shtei Psilos, where he says, "De kol ma, shdemitosef or, as long as you add light, yesh bo yoter shalom bayis, v'simcha yesera, HaKol yeh b'chlal onek Shabbos u'mikri ner shel mitzvah." That's all called ner shel mitzvah. If you just hold it, the mitzvah is one of a hadlaka ba'alma, just to go ahead and light, so then it could very well be that the ikra mitzvah is to light one candle. Once you've lit that one candle, you're good to go, and that would be the entirety of the mitzvah. And then when you light candle two from candle one, that indeed might be an idea of bizui mitzvah. Okay. So now we've discussed how many candles to light. Why is it that the women are the ones that were given this mitzvah? So again, that's the next halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch tells us, halacha beis of Reis Sama Gimel, echad ha'anoshim ve'echad ha'anoshim chayavin lios bebatem near dog b'Shabbos. First of all, do not think that if you're let's say you're a YU guy who's living in an apartment in the Heights, that you're not chayav in hadlak as neiros Shabbos because you're a male, not true. Men are chayav, women are chayavos. The minhag developed that women are due the lighting. Why? Says the Shulchan Aruch halacha gimel, hanoshim muzharos bo yoter. The women have a greater chiyuv, perhaps, mipnei shemitzuyos babayis the oskos bitzorche habayis. So the Mechaber says, since the women are the akaros habayis, they're more involved in the household matters, so therefore the mitzvah fell onto them as the ikar. However, and in fact, if a husband says he's into equal rights, and the husband says, listen, I want to light the candles. I don't. Why should you light the candles? I want to light the candles. He's interested in inequality. So in such a case, says the Mishnah Berurah, the woman can tell him, sorry, Ha'isha Kodemus. She has priority, and she can go ahead and trump his request to light. The Mishnah Berurah does say that it's appropriate, it's the right thing that the husband should also participate in Neiros Shabbos. He shouldn't feel that he has no chelek in it. And therefore, when it's a good practice that the man should set up the lights. He can set up the lights. He can even, in the old days, it wasn't so simple to just light a wick. It just lit quickly. They would singe the wicks a little bit to make them light faster. The husband would do that. And thereby, the husband would have a chelek in the mitzvah of hadlaka as well, and that is something that is quoted and brought down by the Mishnah Berurah as well, that the husband should go ahead and partake as well, not to think that he's totally immune and divorced from the mitzvah. I would add that sometimes, for whatever reason, the husband and the wife are separate from each other, and all too often, because the husband is just relying on his wife and she's going to take care of it, and she always takes care of it, so sometimes there's a case where the husband has to actually do the lighting and he'll forget. And once again, this is something that the husband should have a chelek and be conscious and cognizant of as well. The Mishnah Berurah also points out another reason that the women have this mitzvah is because it's a tikkun for the chait, for the beginning of the process of the sinning in Gan Eden. So Chava started that process. She, in a certain sense, extinguished light that was in the world, the spiritual, pristine light of the world, and therefore, as a tikkun for that, she lights Ner Shabbos in order to, if you will, rekindle that extinguished light. Okay. Is there a question, Aviatar? Yeah, the answer is we don't paskin that way. Because we paskin by the menorah and the Beis HaMikdash that there the hatava, the preparation, is the mitzvah. By Neiros Shabbos, we do at the end of the day, again, we have these two models, but it's definitely not hanachos a mitzvah. Question is whether it's the hana'a, enjoying the light, or the actual hadlaka, but to the preparation itself, that wouldn't be the mitzvah of Neiros Shabbos. Okay. Let's say, so we said women, again, different minhagim, how many candles women light. The Shmir Shabbos Chazal does make crystal clear that when a woman is a guest in someone else's house, let's say she's visiting with her family, going to the in-laws, the parents, etc. So the woman, the wife might still light candles, but there she doesn't have to. If normally she lights seven candles, she has five kids. The minhag is that when a married woman is a guest in someone else's house, she will only light the ikar, which is generally assumed to be two candles, zachar and shamar. Okay, take a look if you have it in front of you. If not, I'll just read it. Reish sama gimel halacha tes. Again, this echoes something we saw the other day, but it's very, very important. Halacha, I mentioned it, I think, yesterday. It's a long halacha, but I'm going to go to the end of the halacha. And at the end of the halacha in the Ramah, the Ramah writes, it's by the Mishnah Berurah, Sifkat Memhei, the Iker Hadlaka, the primary mitzvah of Hadlakas Ner Shabbos, is Tluya, is dependent on Neros Shemadlikin Ala Shulchan. The Iker Hadlaka is the Neros that you have on the table, and therefore it's proper, it's appropriate to light the Ner Shabbos near the place that you're having the Suda. Avalo Bishar HaNeros Shebabayis. And therefore it's important to ideally light the candles in the dining room, in the area that is adjacent or near where you are having your suda. Then, in the prior halacha, look at halacha tes, one back, well, that was halacha yud, halacha tes. Let's say a person, for whatever reason, is lighting his Ner Chanukah in a corner of the house. His Ner Shabbos in the corner of the house. Halacha tes. Hamadlikin bezavios habayis. He's lighting in a corner. Ve'ochlin b'chotzer. They're going to eat in one place and he lit in somewhere else. So says the Shulchan Aruch, very, very strong, that if the situation is such that you're not, by the time you're done with the Su'udah, and now you're going to come and look at those lights. The lights are going to be finished. They're already going to be extinguished. Have a bracha levatala. That would be a bracha levatala, highlighting once again that an essential part of the mitzvah is to get hana'ah from the light. If you're not getting hana'ah from the light, there is something fundamentally flawed in your kiyum ha-mitzvah. And that's what we said the other day. This will come up halach lamais in two very common contexts. One context we mentioned is if you're in a hotel. And you're in a hotel, they're having you light in a corner in the middle of nowhere in the basement, and you're never going to go near those lights. So pashup shot, that's a problem. And if that's the entirety of your hadlakas near Shabbos, then that indeed could be, according to this halacha, a bracha levatala. That's one scenario. A second scenario will be, let's say, the couple is going out for dinner for a meal Friday night. She's going to light Neiros Shabbos. Then they're leaving right away. And by the time they get back into their house, so then, the candles are going to be extinguished. So in that scenario as well, they're not getting hana'ah from the light. By the time they come back, let's say they're going out, you know, right at, they're going to light candles, go out, and then 3 hours, 4 hours later, they're back and the candles are out. So pashup shat, according to this, that is a bracha levatala. It is a problem and definitely should be avoided. How do you avoid that problem? A couple of possibilities. One possibility is that the woman who's lighting the candles should stay by the candles a bit and get hana'ah from the light. Just be there a little bit into Shabbos to be neneh from the neros. Another possibility, which we'll have to discuss in a bit of detail in a moment, is maybe the electric lights that are on in the house should somehow be incorporated into the kiyum, into the mitzvah. And again, we'll discuss momentarily whether and why electricity might be effective as hadlakas neros. But it is important to, again, I just want to emphasize that the hana'ah is going to be a critically important part of the mitzvah. What is the earliest time to light neros Shabbos? Earliest time? Yeah, Will, speak up. Okay, Plaga Mincha. The earliest time you can light neros Shabbos is Plaga Mincha. Plaga Mincha is an hour and a quarter before Shkia and Shol's Manios, and that's the earliest time. You have to be in the penumbra of Shabbos. If you're lighting too early, then it doesn't even look like these are Shabbos candles. Well, who says this is Letzorek Shabbos? Letzorek Erev Shabbos. So you have to be in the penumbra of Shabbos, which means Plaga Mincha, and you can't go too late either. And that's that within that time range between Plag and Shkia is the Zman Hadlaka. We're learning in Daf Yomi Perek Memadlikin, where the Mishnayos talk in great detail about which shmonim you can use, which psilos you can use, which you can't use. Great detail. The Mechaber does tell us that the best fuel for Neros Shabbos, like many things we have, is Shemen Zayis, is the mitzvah min amufchar. But again, any kind of classic candle or oil that's going to light in a nice way, you will be yotze. Okay. Question. Will, what do you got? Yeah, all I'm saying is it has to be real. In other words, when you're sitting at your Shabbos table and the Neros are there, that's a real hana'ah. If it's some kind of perfunctory, you know, casual, fake kind of hana'ah, that I'm not sure we're gonna count. So the solution is going to be, perhaps, is going to be electricity. I want to read to you what the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa has to say about electricity. This is found in Shmir Shabbos Mem Gimel Halacha Dalit. I'm an old man over here, as you know, so I'm using the old version. There were three versions. There are three editions of the Shmir Shabbos. Edition number one is actually before my time, and then he updated it and came up with this one. That's my time. And then eight, nine, 10 years ago, came out the third edition, even better, but I'm still holding by the second edition. Again, this is a sign of what generation you grew up in. So the Shmir Shabbos discusses, He says, when it comes to the fuel that you're supposed to light for your neiros, again, shemen zayis is ideal. If you don't have shemen zayis and you have other good light, good oils, good wicks, and all that, anything goes. Anything goes, as long as it produces a clear light. And then he writes as follows: V'hamadlik neiros shabbos v'yom tov b'norot chashmal. If you use electricity, yeshlo al milismoch, you have upon whom to rely. And not only that, v'gam yivarech al hadlaka zu, and you may make a brach on this hadlaka, uvilvad shiyadlik lichvod Shabbos, as long as it's being lit, lichvod Shabbos. So he says electricity, certainly yesho al milismoch, and then he quotes on the bottom here a lot of achronim, who are matir, including the Har Tzvi. And he quotes Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, and he quotes Rav Avad Yosef, and many others who sanction electric lights. And the reason for that is because fundamentally, I'll contrast it. Why do we make here? I'm going to take a breather for a minute. So this is a not rhetorical question. Why do we have Eish for Havdalah? Why do we make Havdalah with a bracha borei ma'orei ha'Eish? Anybody? Right, so it wasn't created, but it was taught. Hashem taught Adam HaRishon how to use fire, how to make fire on Motzei Shabbos. That's one of the core reasons. And the minhag to go ahead and thank Hashem for the utility of fire, so we make a bracha on Motzei Shabbos of Borei Ma'ori Ha'esh. Not a coincidence. Another reason is because now we can do malacha, so we do a symbolic act of malacha, which is lighting a fire, and we do that on Motzei Shabbos. But the core reason is because Adam HaRishon was taught about the power and utility of fire on Motzei Shabbos. So Havdalah, listen carefully, Havdalah is a din in fire. And to be Yotzei Havdalah, you need fire. The Gemara is going to tell us, you not only do you need fire, you need a meduri, you need something that has two wicks. It's a din in fire because that's what we are thanking Hashem for. Is Ner Shabbos a halacha in fire? L'chora not. It's not a halacha in fire. It's a halacha in light. The idea is, as we've said, Shiehe Ner Daluk, so you can have a Suda with Onek Shabbos. It's because of Shalom Bayis. It's because you want light. And if that's the case, Pashup Shat, unlike Havdalah, I wouldn't tell you can make Havdalah on a light bulb. But to go ahead and be Yotzei your mitzvah of Ner Shabbos on a light bulb might indeed be okay, because it's really not a din in fire. It's a din in or. And as such, to make a bracha will be fine. Therefore, when you're in that hotel situation, or the husband and wife are going away for Shabbos Friday night, or even perhaps, and this was raised by one of you, I believe, yesterday, even in a situation where a regular Friday night, where do we get most of our light from? Our light is coming from, guys, from a regular, from our fluorescents, from our halogens, from our regular light bulbs. So if that's the case, what's our candles contributing? What are they contributing all to the illumination? So one could make an argument, I think it's a good one, that there's something special about candles. Candles provide a more spiritual kind of light. It's not just to have light in the house, it's a certain spiritual kind of light. And I think that's true. But more than that, perhaps it's as drowned out by the regular electric light that we use all the time. And therefore, the solution to all of these issues would be for the electric lights that are going to be used. Let's go to our hotel case first. So the wife might be lighting with candles downstairs in the basement. Before she goes downstairs, she should, let's say in the room, turn off the light in the bathroom, turn it on Lichvot Shabbos, having in mind this is part of my mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos. And then she'll go downstairs, she'll make her bracha on the candles, but have in mind the electricity that she had in her room. Similarly, when you're in that couple in their house on a Friday afternoon, they're going away for dinner, turn off the lights they don't want, they're going to want to use. Turn them on Lichvot Shabbos, and then the bracha is going to include not just the candle, but also the electricity. And perhaps even, this is the practice that's quoted by Rav Aaron Soloveitchik Zatzal, that in his house, every single Friday afternoon, before his wife would light candles, he would turn off the lights in the house, the electric lights that were And then the ones that were going to be used for Shabbos, he would turn them on lichvot Shabbos. His wife would then light, and everything would be included, the electric and the candles in her hadlaka. And that seems to be a proper and an ideal solution. Again, I'll be honest with you, many of us don't do that. We forget to do that. But Mikra Din, that is an ideal solution. There is a comment that is made in the name of in the Shmir Shabbos Kolchosa, where he quotes his Rebbe, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal, who was more in favor. If you're going to use electric as your candles for Shabbos, he liked better if you'd use a battery-operated light versus your light switch where your power is coming from the electric company. Why is that? Because if it's battery-operated, in a certain sense, the fuel is here right now and it's all in your control. When you're relying on the electric company, even though they're pretty reliable, they usually come through, but it's not, you need the current that's perhaps not currently there. It needs to kind of be flowing through. It's tolui bedas acherim. It's tolui on others. And therefore, he preferred, if you're going to rely on electric lights, to use a battery operated. But again, most of the posts can say that one can make a bracha on electricity. And the proper minhag, the best minhag, if you want to do it in the ideal fashion, is to light the regular candles and also the electric having in mind that will all be part of your Kiyum HaMitzvah. Okay, Yoni Albert, yes. In other words, the point is that your electric lights are really that which are providing the light. Meaning the real ore is coming from your electricity, not from your candles. And therefore, you should incorporate the electric lights into your mitzvah of hadlaka.
You would just make the bracha on the Shabbos, came on the light?
No, you're going to turn on the lights, the electric lights, lichvot Shabbos, and your bracha is going to be on the candles, but you're having in mind as well the electricity. Eviatar? So what I would say is as follows: it is really it's a little ironic, but your real mitzvah is the electric lights. I'm not saying this lahalacha, but I'm saying this as a, you know, in terms of the lumdus, the real mitzvah is the electric lights, and the candles that we're lighting is really kind of the minhag. The minhag is to light candles, but the real light is coming from the electricity. Let me just read you one more halacha that ties into this, and then I'll take Gilad and Isaac's question. If you look at the Mechaber in Simin Reis Sama Gimel Halacha Ches, the Mechaber is really addressing this issue. He says as follows: Shnayim o shlosha balei batin. If you have two or three couples or families that are living together, ochlin b'makom echad, they're all together. Yesh omrim, some say shekol echad mevarech al menorah shelo. Some say that everyone should light their own leichter. The yesh, and there are those that are megamgem badavar. There are those who question whether that should be the case. After all, once one person's lighting, everyone else who lights is excess, is a bracha levatala. And he says, the Mechaber does, v'nochon li zoher b'safek brachos v'lo yivarech ela echad. If they're all lighting in the same place, and once you have someone, the first candles are up, you don't need the subsequent candles, so those extra candles are really bracha levatala, so you shouldn't make a bracha on them. It's a suffix whether you're yotze, and the Mechaber says don't make a bracha. The Rambam says, aval anu ein noagin kein. Our minhag is, yes, to make a bracha, even on that tosefes or. So again, I think this ties back into our earlier discussion, is tosefes or part of the mitzvah? In other words, for every additional candle, it's creating more illumination, more light. That's part of the mitzvah. You make a bracha. That's the minhag of the Rambam. That's our minhag. In other words, even when you have electricity, but by lighting candles, you definitely are adding something to the atmosphere and ambiance of the room, and therefore it's appropriate for bracha. The Mechaber is a little hesitant, and that is why perhaps it is best to have the electricity also in mind. Okay, Gilad, yeah. I definitely can.
Is the bracha that you're making on the candle lighting have in mind electricity?
That would be the best practice. Best practice. Shapiro. Isaac?
So once again, I have two questions for lighting.
Yeah, I would say no. Hanukkah is a din in Neros and Shmonim and the menorah sheba migdash, there is an element, you probably get an element of pirsume nisa, of lighting one of those electric leichter, you know, one of those electric menorahs. But the mitzvah is would definitely be also one of hadlaka and would require, you know, real lighting. Okay, so let me touch on that for a second. If we're talking about electricity, so I did a little research many years ago, but our regular old-fashioned light bulbs, I have a little picture, I don't know if you could see it, but our regular old-fashioned incandescent light bulbs, they have a tungsten filament that is inside the bulb. And basically that tungsten filament gets really, really hot. It's a very thin piece of metal. And the current that runs through it causes that filament to rise to a level of 5,400 degrees Fahrenheit. That's very, very hot. 3,000 degrees Celsius. And you know how hot it is? It's so hot that many poskim assume that maybe that's called fire. That's already called esh. And as a result, when it comes to, for example, don't do this, but if you have one of those classic bulbs, the incandescent bulb, you put your hand near it, you try and touch it, not a good idea. Try and touch a fluorescent light, no problem. It's a little warm, but it's not terribly hot. That's a gas that's running through it. So there are poskim. This was a famous issue came up. It actually came up in the past week when the shilas of, you know, the elderly and having them participate in a Seder at a Zoom, via Zoom and all of that. So the issue came up, some Israeli poskim, especially Sephardic Rabbanim, there was a historical issue, what's wrong with electricity on Shabbos? Is there anything wrong with it or not? And this was a historical issue. And then the issue also came up, is there anything wrong with electricity on Yom Tov? Because after all, when it comes to Yom Tov, I'm allowed to extend the flame. Why can't I turn on a light? Is that no different than extending a flame, perhaps? So there was a time, again, this is a couple of generations ago, Rav Chaim Ozer Grozhansky, the Aviezri, he wanted to show that he felt that lighting a light switch with an incandescent bulb is actually no different than lighting a match. And as a result, he took upon himself to literally make Havdalah, which requires Eish. He made Havdalah on an incandescent bulb to prove that it's mamish Eish. But again, I think that's fundamentally different. That's Havdalah when you need Eish. When it comes to Ner Shabbos, so there is arguably no din of Eish, it's a din of Or. And since the din of Or, so you could go ahead and be Yotze with electricity, as I said. Okay, I'm going to move a little bit.
One more quick question.
If it's quick, Isaac, you can. I would say perhaps the opposite, because Ramah allows, you know, multiple lights, you know, he's okay with multiple lights, which means you're enhancing the onik. It's a possibility. Let me move on. I'm going to spend five more minutes. I just want to introduce our next topic. And if you have the first set of marmakomas I gave, I'm moving on to C. And C is getting very fundamental issue. It starts with a Gemara, and the question that we're going to deal with, and again we'll deal with it tomorrow in greater detail, is what is the relationship between lighting the candles, Hadlakas Neros, and a woman's Kabbalah Shabbos? Is it the case that once a woman lights candles, for her it's Shabbos? And then if that's true, when in the process is it Shabbos? Is it Shabbos when she makes the bracha? Is it Shabbos only when she lights the candles? Does she make the bracha first, light the candles after? We started touching on that, but let's get into it a little deeper. And again, it starts with a very, very beautiful Gemara. Again, on Daf Chav Gimel Amud Beis in Masechet Shabbos. I'm just going to learn the Gemara with you, and then we'll look at the core machlokes Ramban, Balachos Gedolos, Hagos Maimonios, Emir Tzashem tomorrow. But the Gemara has the following shaila. If a very, very poor person, he has no money whatsoever, all he can afford is one candle, and it happens to be that it's Friday evening, Shabbos is coming, and it's also Chanukah. So the question that the Gemara is bothered by is, you have a choice now, you only have money for one candle, and it's either going to be a Ner Shabbos or a Ner Chanukah. Can you double dip? Can you use one candle for both Ner Shabbos and Ner Chanukah? Feel free to answer. Are we there? Where did I lose you? Okay, the question is as follows. The Gemara tells us that a person who's very, very poor and can only afford one Ner, and it's either going to be Ner Shabbos or Ner Chanukah, which one does he do? So my question is, why can't he use the Ner Shabbos as his Ner Chanukah? Why can't you double dip? Can you double dip? Can you use your Ner Shabbos and your Ner Chanukah? And the answer to that question is a resounding no. You cannot double dip. Why can't you double dip? Because when it comes to... Right. When it comes to Ner Shabbos, as we've discussed, you must get Hana'ah from the Ner Shabbos. You must partake of the Ner Shabbos. When it comes to the Ner Chanukah, Haneros Halalu Kodesh Hein Ve'ein Lanu Rishus Lehishtamesh Bahen. We're not allowed to use or enjoy or partake of the Ner Chanukah. So on some level, the Ner Shabbos and the Ner Chanukah are mutually exclusive. You can't go ahead and use Ner Chanukah for Ner Shabbos, or the reverse. So the Gemara has this Shaila, what do you do? And the Gemara says a clash between Ner Chanukah and Ner Shabbos. Gemara says, Amar Rava Pshitali. It's obvious to me that when you have such a clash, Ner Beso v'Ner Chanukah, Ner Beso Adif. Ner Beso Adif, you prioritize Neros Shabbos. Why? So Rava says something very important. I want you to hear this loud and clear. Mishum Shalom Bayis. Because of Shalom Bayis, you must prioritize your Ner Shabbos. Shalom Bayis is paramount. So I'm just going to close with a very strong idea, in my opinion, a very, very beautiful idea. I heard this from Rabbi Norman Lamb, who suggests the following, that Ner Chanukah and Ner Shabbos are really paradigms of two different, if you will, parts of life. The Ner Shabbos we light on our Shabbos tables. And Ner Shabbos represents Shalom Bayis. The illumination and the light of Ner Shabbos projects inside the house. Ner Chanukah is the exact opposite. Ner Chanukah you put outside your house. You put it on the windowsill. You put it on the chatzer facing Rishus HaRabim. Ner Chanukah projects the street, projects outside, projects my public life as opposed to my home life, my inner life. Now, human beings, normally speaking, except during COVID-19 crises, but normally speaking, we have a dual existence. We have an existence that's outside of the house, that's in the community, that's in work, that's in the schools, that's a communal, social kind of life outside of our homes. And then we have our home life, our life that's in the four walls of our house. And ideally, people have time and energy and space and money to excel in both areas, to excel in the public sphere and in the private sphere. However, the Gemara is telling us something very, very profound and very deep, is there are some times in life where there's going to be a clash between the public life and the private life. Sometimes, I'll tell you very, very honest and openly, as a Rebbe, sometimes that clash is constant. Is on the one hand, you want to be giving to the Talmidim. You want to always be there. And sometimes you have family needs and spousal needs and child needs that have to take place. And these two sometimes come into clash constantly. They're constantly in clash, in conflict. And the Gemara says, if you have enough time, enough money, enough energy for both, then that's certainly, certainly ideal. But when there is a clash, and it's a clash between their Shabbos or Ner Chanukah, the public sphere or the private sphere, so says the Gemara, Ner Shabbos Adif, Shalom Bayis Adif, that's the ultimate priority, is taking care of that which is in the house. I like to say this over to young Chassanim, because it's interesting, at a wedding, when the couple gets married, so the chuppah is a representation of the house of the Chassan. And you'll notice the chuppah is open on all four sides. It's like Avraham Avinu's tent. Everyone can look in, and the chassan kala can look out. It's a very, very public type of house. But immediately after the chuppah, we say mazel tov, we break the glass, and we usher the chassan and kala into the yichud room. And that represents the other sphere of married life where they shut everyone out and they're in privacy and in their own solitude, in their own quiet. And that's how they operate, and that's how they're... And I would argue that indeed the yichud is the climax of the wedding. The public part of the wedding is very critical, and it's an integral part of a human being's life. But ultimately, the couple immediately is ushered and moves into yichud, where they work on their shalom bayis. So that's this idea that I think the Gemara is suggesting, on a, at least on a Jewish level, but I think it's very emes and very true. And for all you guys, you youngsters, who are a couple of years away from becoming chassanim yourself, I think it's a very, very important message to carry with you and to think about. I'm going to stop here. And if there are any questions, and I'm sorry I didn't get to interact with you as much in this year, Shuki, I will hear what you have to say. By all means, go for it.